I've titled my sermon this morning, Jesus Who. We're going to be starting our study in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." This verse is also on the back wall of our sanctuary, because it is the four-square motto. Being a four-square church, we're required to display it in our sanctuary. It is an integral part of who we are as a denomination. In such a small verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there is a lot to understand. There are a lot of implications that go along with that. And we're going to take a look at those this morning and try to unpack it and see what it means for us as we attempt to share the gospel. We're going to be looking at this from the perspective of sharing the gospel. Before we do that, let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for preparing us to hear from it this morning. God, I ask that you'd use this time to edify us and to glorify you. We want to give you praise. We want to give you time. We want to give you effort. We want to submit to you as Lord, and we do that this morning according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Easter is 3 weeks away, which is coming up fast. It doesn't feel like it should be 3 weeks away. In fact, with COVID and on Wednesday, and we were laying out the rules for the game, and I said, okay, and you can't do this, and Andrew said, because of COVID, and that was kind of the running joke, because it is kind of because of COVID that we didn't want you to blow on the frogs and breathe at each other, but it just feels like everything is going really, really fast. Easter is 3 weeks away. For us, as a church, as a body of Christ, it's a time of celebration. We're going to celebrate our risen Savior. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Christmas, we celebrate his birth. On Easter, we celebrate that he died and rose again. And that's significant. That matters a lot. The process is a miracle. What it provides for us is a miracle. Provides for us everlasting life. Provides for us an eternity as we have faith in him. So we celebrate that. As believers, we take time and we celebrate it. We're going to sing his praise and worship. We're going to do fun things with children. We're going to have a time of fellowship without breakfast because of COVID. We're going to do all of those things to celebrate our Lord. What's really cool about this season is that the world celebrates it too, which is common for Easter and Christmas. The schools are going to take a extended weekend or spring break. The stores are going to change out their inventory to reflect the holiday. They've already been doing that. They had St. Patrick's Day up for a little while, and then that got flooded out with Easter. They're going to change your inventory. Parents and grandparents will make up little baskets of goodies for children, and organizations will possibly still have egg hunts. I don't know. I haven't seen any posted this year, but in years past, that's been a big thing. They give away bicycles and candy and cavities. It's crazy. The world around us celebrates Easter, even if they don't understand it. Even if they don't get the meaning behind it, even if they don't celebrate it for the same reason we do, they celebrate it. Organizations will donate thousands and thousands of dollars to put their name on a banner that says Easter egg hunt. The world around us will celebrate it. And some of them really do understand it. Some of them totally get it because this is one of two times a year that they come to church. You okay? Okay, good. Robert almost died back there. It's one of only two times that some people come to church. I call those CEOs. They're Christmas and Easter onlys, right? They're CEOs. Very important. They can only make it to church twice. We have those people. It's, that's the funniest thing I'm going to say all day, so we'll take it in. The good thing about it is, the wonderful thing about it is that sharing Jesus during this season is a whole lot easier for us. What other time of year do you see crosses littering the aisles at Walmart? I mean, they're all over. Walmart stopped really selling Bibles. They narrowed their Bible selection down to like three, maybe, and you can't find them. But on Easter, they put out chocolate crosses for some reason. I don't know why we want to eat that. It's weird. Means that they don't totally get it. But they've got them. Their decoration aisles are full of crosses and he is risen and blessed and all of those things. It's too easy. All of a sudden, Hy-Vee and Aldi are out there making it easier for us to bring up salvation. We have this incredible opportunity to share Jesus. We have an opportunity because, hey, the world around us is celebrating it. They just don't know what they're celebrating. And they might argue, hey, it was a pagan holiday and we just put Jesus stuff over top of it. Okay. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to have that conversation. I don't need to have that argument. I'm celebrating Jesus. They're putting out chocolate crosses, so you are too. I mean, that's the thing. It becomes too easy. So we always have an opportunity to share Jesus. But it stands to reason that it might be easier right now than other times of the year. Because people are celebrating my holiday. This one's mine. And they know it is. Because schools changed the name of Easter break to spring break. It used to be Easter break in the 90s. I was in school when they changed it to spring break. When they made that transition. Christmas break was not Christmas break anymore. It was winter vacation or whatever. To celebrate our holidays. It stands to reason that it's easier right now than it might be in July. In July, they're going to be really passionate about our country. But right now, it's Easter. This one's mine. So what do we tell them? What do we tell them when they're standing there looking at a cross in the chocolate aisle saying, what is this about? What are we going to tell them when they say, who is Jesus? Or Jesus who? I want to share something with you. Many of us grew up in the church. Jesus has always been a part of our lives. He was as factual as the president. When I was a kid, Jesus and the president were equally factual. You didn't see either of them, but they had an effect on your life. They were always causing fuss at family gatherings. But that is not the truth for everyone anymore. Many people today have never been to church. Many more have left the church. Somebody said the other day, I was talking with Rory, and someone had kind of attacked her about her faith, and their defense was that they grew up Catholic. That means nothing to me. That doesn't mean you know Jesus. You may have grown up in the church your whole life and not know who Jesus is. People are growing up with an absolutely no understanding of who God is. They have no understanding or idea of who Jesus is or why they should want to follow him. They've been trained by us. They've been taught by us, by their experience with us, that we're a bunch of hypocrites that just want to tell them how to live their lives. Hey, you can't do that. That's a sin. Hey, don't live that way. That's sinful. Hey, you're going to go to hell if you do this. So they may go their whole lives without an understanding of who Jesus is. We have an opportunity right now because it's Easter. This is our season. This is for us. The thing is, we have to know, what do we say? The Holy Spirit will give you words. The Holy Spirit will give you power in that time to speak. But we can prepare ourselves intellectually as well. So to the question, what do we say? Well, the answer is in those two verses. The key to that is in those two verses. Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior, our Lord, is the same as he was at the beginning of time. He has not changed, which is pretty comforting. The book of John starts by introducing Jesus as the Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus was the same then. It states he's been there since the beginning. We understand Jesus played an important part in creation. In the New Testament, we see Jesus walking the earth. We see him baptized, tempted, crucified. And all of that happens. But from this scripture in Hebrews, we know that that's the same Jesus that played a part in creation. And I want to say that I'm very glad that you can't say the same about Adam Johnson. I'm very glad that it's not Adam Johnson is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change all the time. The person that I was 5 years ago is not the same person that I am now, thankfully. I still have plenty of flaws today. Some of them I had then. But I know the work that God has done in me, the person that he's causing me to become. But that isn't Jesus. The stories that I have about Jesus are the same. They're still true. And they help us to understand who he is. Good. So how do we get to know someone now? How do you get to know who Jasmine is? You spend time with her. You hear stories about her. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, right? It's true. How do you get to know me? How do you get to know the Taylors? You have Mr. Taylor and Mrs. Taylor, Chrome. How do you get to know them? Through stories and interaction. It's the same way that people can come to know our Lord. The stories that we have about Jesus that help us to understand who he is are still incredibly relevant today because he doesn't change. When he was walking this earth as a man, he was doing exactly what he meant to do all the time. Think about as a parent what it would have been like to parent Jesus, to be the mother of Jesus the Christ. That'd be incredibly infuriating sometimes. Think about those times when, like, as parents, we're wrong a lot. My kids are in the back, so I can say that. But think about having a kid who would, like, know that you're wrong. Jesus was doing exactly what he meant to be doing all the time. Jesus and Gandalf had that in common. They arrive precisely when they mean to. The second funny thing. We're doing good today. Our belief, our faith, our identity is based on a relationship that we have with the Lord. We form that relationship based on our understanding of who he is. We formed our understanding based on our experience and the stories that we know. It's just like any other relationship that we form after kindergarten. In kindergarten, you just form relationships based on proximity. They're standing there, and you can do fun things together. But after that, you want to know the caliber of the person before you start spending time with them. Our relationships with our spouses. We had to get to know them first before agreeing to spend our lives with them. Our friendships, we wanted to get to know who a person is before we share our lives intimately with them. Getting to know Jesus is how we came to submit to him as Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, so he knew Jesus, who's also his natural born cousin, and John the Baptist celebrated Jesus' existence in the womb, questioned who Jesus really was. He sent his disciples to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Because there's a lot of questions that surround Jesus. So as we come to know him, we come to develop relationship with him. We can have the same kind of response that John the Baptist did. Jesus replied to them and said, "Go and report to John what you hear and see." Of course, John the Baptist was beheaded. Don't follow him that far. Or maybe do. "Go and report what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news, and Blessed is the one who isn't offended by me. John said, hey, look, report what you see and hear. Give a testimony of what you can experience. So when we are face to face with our opportunity, when that person is in front of us and needs to know about Jesus, which is everyone, right? It's not just some people out there need to know about Jesus. All of us, including myself, often need to be reminded about who the Lord is. We have an obligation to be a storyteller, to tell about who we know Jesus to be. We have to tell them about him. We report on what we see and hear. And that's incredibly relevant today. Again, we remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so as I read the Bible and I see and know who Jesus is, hey, he's super relevant right now, 2,000 years later. Jesus didn't care about social norms. You know what's causing such a strife in our culture right now? It's that we have cultures clashing. We have an upstart of a culture that is possibly offended by a lot of things, that wants things to be correct and unoffensive to anyone. And we have another culture that's saying, hey, it's fine. It's been fine for 50 years. It's fine now. Jesus didn't care about social norms. He was the first person in authority to really cross those boundaries. We were sharing this with Rory the other night as she was talking about this interaction that she had. Jesus approached a woman sitting by a well in a situation that was totally contrary to culture. Totally contrary. Didn't care about race, nationality, gender. And that happens in John chapter 4. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria. It says he had to travel. I think he had to travel because he had to have this interaction. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Remember when I said a moment ago, I believe that Jesus is intentional about everything he does? I think he had an intention of meeting this woman there. I think he had an intention of sending his disciples on, because they probably wouldn't have understood this interaction. It wouldn't have seemed like it was a necessary interaction had he had a group of 12 guys standing around that could have gotten him some water. Had he had an intern that could get him some water, he wouldn't have had to ask this lady. He wouldn't have had to have awkward conversation that would have made her uncomfortable. And you know she was uncomfortable because she said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Hey, you know who you're talking to, right? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Jesus said, I'm offering salvation to everybody. He crossed social boundaries. He went outside of social norms. We're living in a time that seems more racially divided than it was 30 years ago. And yet Jesus, a Jew 2,000 years ago, taught us to not let those things dictate our lives. Race doesn't get in the way of me sharing Jesus. It can't. Jesus did what would have made everyone else feel uncomfortable. He approached a woman that he wasn't socially supposed to be talking to and shared hope with her. It's a very quick story. If you memorize it, you know where it's at in Scripture. You can tell it back. Then the time that somebody says, hey, aren't all of you Christians just racist and crazy people? You can say, well, not really. Not if we're doing our job right. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 4 actually said this and did this. We have to be ready to respond. This is a short story. It took me, what, 35 seconds to tell it. And that story tells a lot about our Lord. When we want to get to know Jesus, that story, the characteristics that he shows, are incredible and very important. We should know that story and others. We should know where it is in Scripture and be able to tell it. Like the stories we tell about our friends. The stories we have memorized about that one time our kid was an idiot. We're going to keep that one back there so that we can share it at graduation. I'm trying to memorize all the ways that my kids say words wrong because it's fun. We should memorize this stuff enough that we can say, yeah, we're kind of messing that up. This is what Jesus told us to do. This is who he was. And really, I'm trying to be like Jesus, so I'm trying to do this. Jesus didn't care about social norms. Hey, that's one story. Jesus ate with sinners. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. Then, passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was reclining at the table at Levi's house, he went to Levi's house. He said, "Follow me," and then he said, "What's for dinner?" "We're going. It's time. We're walking. Hey, we're going there." And who were Levi's friends? Levi was a tax collector. Who did he hang out with? Other tax collectors. Who else was in that house? Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who were following him. Of course, the religious people got irritated. When the scribes, who were Pharisees, saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "It's not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." There are opportunities all the time when people are complaining about overly religious folks. They might say that we always think we're better than everybody else. I've heard that. I've heard often that we're a bunch of hypocrites. But you might share this story. "Hey, I'm sorry I come off that way. My Lord said he came to call the sinners and not righteous, that saved people, that people who have it figured out all on their own don't really need a doctor. I need a doctor." So now this is a story from the Bible. Jesus was walking down the road and he saw this guy named Levi and then went and hung out with those guys. Jesus was hanging out with sinners. You might share that story. You might share the implications of that story. The characteristics of Jesus that we learn from that story. That he was there to offer salvation and hope to everybody. People that were self-righteous, he didn't have time for them. People that felt like they had it all figured out, that didn't need Jesus, he didn't need them either. Jesus made it a point to eat with sinners and tax collectors. We should know that story. We should know where it is in Scripture so that we can point people to it. Hey, I'm pretty sure that's in, it's in like the book of Mark or something. And know where to and know how to share it. Being able to share that story in a caring and compassionate way is sharing who Jesus really is. Those characteristics of God are things that people need to know. When you ask me about who Bruce is, I'm going to share who Bruce is. I'm going to share what I know about Bruce. I'm going to share stories about Bruce. I'm going to share stories probably about Josh at the same time, and you're going to meet his son Josh. And if you know Bruce, Josh is probably next to Bruce. We have to be able to tell those stories. And I have some of my favorites. I'm sharing some of my favorites with you. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He told his disciples that the kingdom of God was going to flip the script, that if you wanted to be important, you had to be a servant. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 through 27. his disciples were getting in a fight about who's going to be the most important, who's the most important to Jesus. And he said, the kings of Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them call themselves benefactors. It's not to be like that among you. So when we get ourselves all hoity-toity and important, or when people accuse us of that, or when people have questions about that, we can say, hey, Jesus said, whoever's the greatest among you should become like the youngest, and whoever leads like one serving. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Hey, why do you spend all your time volunteering? I'm supposed to serve. Hey, why do you do this? Why are you giving up all your evenings? Jesus did it. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Because if I want to be great in the kingdom of God, I'm supposed to be low here. So I'm washing feet. I'm doing whatever. Whatever it takes, whatever people need, I'm doing it. Because Jesus said, whatever I do for the least of these is for him. And I want to serve him because he changed my life and I want to tell you about it. There are fun stories about Jesus too. Jesus flipped tables and chased people with a whip. You ought to know that. You ought to know where that is in Scripture. He cared a whole lot about righteousness of people. He cared a whole lot about things that we don't make important or things that we make overly important. Matthew 21:12, which is a really easy number to remember because it's 21 and then opposite of 21. 2:1:1:2. Jesus went into the temple and threw out all those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said, you guys are making a mockery of everything that my God has sanctified. He said to them, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves. And then he continued to heal people. Those are some characteristics about God. When people ask about televangelists and people who are of like the name it and claim it gospel, the prosperity message, all of that stuff, you say, well, Jesus is going to handle that. I've heard about some other times that he handled that. I'm just saying. They might be fine now, but when they find themselves face to face, Jesus is going to have words. I know that. I've seen him do it before. Jesus is going to handle that. Don't worry about it. Because this one time, he went to the temple. Not the time that he went when he was a kid, but the later time. The later time, he went in there. He saw all these people making a mockery of his father's house, and he chased them with a whip. He flipped over the tables, threw the chairs. He had some righteous indignation. It's going to be exciting to see some of that. We've got to have these stories stored in our heart. Those are some of my favorites. I shared with the youth last week a story of, what did I share? Anybody? We got youth here. Of Jesus walking on the water and calling Peter out to join him. Jesus was walking on the water and he called Peter out and said, come, it's me. It's me, your Lord. You can come out here. It's safe. And Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking towards him. But then Peter got distracted. And Jesus called him out on that. He saved him, but he called him out on that. We ought to know these stories. These are some of the stories that help me to know who Jesus is. These are some of the stories that help me to understand who Jesus is, what he cares about. You should be thinking about some of your favorites. That's not all the stories about Jesus, right? He fed thousands of people. That's a good story. He told those that wanted to follow him that he was going to be the most important, or he wasn't going to be, or you weren't really a follower. right? He said, let the dead bury the dead. We don't have time for all that. He talked about how there's going to be divisions in households. There's a lot of good stories about Jesus. He ran away a lot. He took naps. He had to get away from crowds. He prepared for ministry by fasting and being tempted. Lots of good stories about Jesus. When we introduce people to people, we share stories. Hey, that's Robert. He's a really, really good piano player. You should listen. He's also really good at these other things. This one time this happened and Robert was able to help me out. You should be able to have those stories about Jesus. Because those stories help us to understand who Jesus is. And when you store them in your heart and you can share them just like you share them, you would share a story about your kids or a story about your friends or a story about that one crazy person you know or all the stories we have about our crazy family members. We ought to be able to share stories about Jesus like that. We share our personal experience as well as the scripture. Because it's important for people to know who Jesus is and be introduced to him properly so that they can know who he is, what he cares about, what he's passionate about. They need to know him genuinely, not our version. Sometimes, probably more often than we would be proud of, what we are passionate about is not necessarily what Jesus is passionate about. They need to know Jesus, not Adam Johnson. Your pastor is persona non grata. I do not matter. Jesus matters a lot. It's better to share his passions, his desires, his instruction. Those are the things that matter the most. To do that, we have to know who Jesus is ourselves, which means studying the Word. We have to be in the Word. This is a perfect time to be reading through the Gospels. It doesn't take that long. Read them. Know who Jesus is. Know who he was when he walked with people, when he talked to people, when he criticized people, when he called people out. Find out what's important to him. It's the only way to know who Jesus is. We have to read the Gospels. It's important that we know who Jesus is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. That tells me that it doesn't just come naturally. Be ready is a call to action for us to understand and to be applying those things in our lives. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. Our desire as a church is to glorify God, equip saints, and share the gospel. That's my job as pastor. That's our focus as a council. That's our primary concern of budgeting, scheduling, programming, everything that we do in this place. To glorify God and equip the saints. This is part of your equipping. We have to be able to answer the question, who is Jesus? Because this is Easter season and people might actually be asking. Even if they're not asking, you might introduce them anyway. Because when I step into a circle with a friend, I introduce my friend. Hey, this is Taylor. Hey, this is Ron. Ron's really good at guitar. He's my brother-in-law. We're hanging out. He's coming with us today. We do the same for the Lord. Introduce him to every conversation because we bring him with us. Jesus who? Once we know ourselves, we can share that answer with others. And that's sharing the gospel. That's sharing the good news. Knowing who Jesus is the good news. Because Jesus is contrary to culture. Jesus is hope. Jesus is the living water, as he called himself. Jesus is comfort and peace. And the world needs that. And they're seeking after it. They're seeking answers. We know a guy. Hey, I know a guy. He's got this for you. I know a guy that can help. Let me tell you about Jesus. We're supposed to be ready. And the great comfort of all of that and knowing all of those stories is that Jesus doesn't change. So the Jesus that we understood as one who came and served and washed feet is the same one that died on the cross, rose again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. The Jesus that we understand, who chased the money changers out of the temple and cared so much about the purity of his house, of his Father's house, is the one that sits at the right hand of the Father today. The Jesus that told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," when he was trying to circumvent what Jesus had going on. It's the same Jesus that I'm serving right now, that I call Lord, that I follow on a regular basis or try to. That Jesus. And that's the one that they need to know. That's the one they need introduced to. That's the one we have to tell them about. Not the one that we've made up. Not the one that makes us feel better. Not the one that gives them everything they want. But the Jesus of the Bible. He's the one that offers salvation. Jesus who? Oh, I got stories. Let me tell you about Jesus. I didn't share with Eden what my sermon was. We sang a lot of beautiful songs today about who Jesus is. We didn't correlate that at all. It's really fun when that happens. Sometimes we plan and we say, okay, this is what my sermon is. These are the songs, and or vice versa. And I'll plan around her. No planning at all. Today we gave glory to God, and our service really flowed well because we're talking about Jesus and who he is. And we've been singing about it too. Jesus is a beautiful name. Jesus is a miracle worker, a way maker, a promise keeper. As long as you know all of that, you can share that. And that's our job. Amen? So as we go about this next week, we're going to have opportunities. We've got to make it weird. Introduce your weird friend to the conversation. Hey, this is Jesus. He comes with me everywhere I go. I like that. Hey, this is what's really important to me. I follow Jesus. This is why I'm the way that I am. Hey, this is what I know about your situation. This is what the Bible tells you about it. There's not going to be enough time in any of your lives that I'll be able to share with you everything you need to know about Jesus from this pulpit or round cafe table. We have to study it on our own. We have to learn how to apply it. We have to learn how to dig into it. Because the world needs Jesus as much as we do. Amen? Let's pray. God, I ask that you would bless each one of these that are here today, those that are watching online, those that call this church their home. I ask that you would just pour out wonderful things in their homes, in their lives, in their families, in all their relationships. I ask that you would give healing where it is necessary, finances where it is necessary. God, give provision as you've promised, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your word and sending your son to die on the cross. We celebrate that he rose again 3 days later and defeated death in the grave so that we can have everlasting life with you. We're so thankful for that. We thank you for your word, for this time that we get to be together, for fellowship of this church and family. God, we commit this time to you. I ask that you bless each one that is here. Help them to go about this week and the rest of our lives representing you well and telling stories of your goodness and your greatness, because you are those things. And we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.